Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome into another episode of Locked On Braves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, covering all of your favorite teams across all of your favorite sports, helping you stay up to date on what you need to know to be the best fan possible. Locked On Podcast Network, just subscribe to your favorite shows across the network, and you can be kept up to date whenever a new show drops, so you're never left out of the loop. Locked On Podcast Network, always helping fans be fans. If you guys missed yesterday's episode, I do want to reiterate that starting next week, we will be going to three episodes a week again, just like it was during the off season. Expect that it'll probably be Monday, Wednesday, Friday would be my guess. Although depends kind of when I end up going back to work. As soon as everything gets back up and running, we'll kind of revisit and see what happens, at least until we have an idea or an actual day of when we know baseball's coming back. But for now, starting next week, we will be going into off-season mode here on Locked On Braves, three episodes a week. Just wanted to let y'all know so you guys don't freak out when you don't see five episodes. Theme today is same thing we've been doing, breaking down the top 30. We are motoring through this system. Now, full disclosure, this was something I was planning on doing this year anyway, but I was kind of planning on doing one episode a week, and one episode a week being dedicated to the prospect top 30, which would have taken me through much of the season. Unfortunately, as you can see, this is not a normal year in 2020, so we are going to go ahead and motor through this now. Keeping up the theme, we're almost at the top 10. Just outside the top 10, we're at numbers 12 and 11 today. We're going to start off at number 12. This is a guy who you should have heard of. Braden Shoemake, the shortstop out of Texas A&M, second first-round pick last season. And one that I kind of thought was a bit of a reach when it happened. I had originally thought when the season first kind of kicked underway and I first started getting into the draft, I had circled Braden Shoemake's name as a possible guy for the Braves. As the season went on, though, and I started seeing Shoemake a little bit, I didn't quite think he was going to be a Braves pick because I didn't think they were going to take him in the first round, and I didn't think he would last until their second or third round picks. Braves obviously liked him a lot. I thought there were a couple other shortstops on the board that they probably should have taken before him, a guy like Logan Davidson out of Clemson. Although Braden definitely outperformed Logan after they got drafted, I kind of fell into the Logan Davidson trap a little bit. But the Braves obviously know what they're doing. They've done a great job of a lot of these guys, and Braden Shoemake is no different. When you look at Braden, one of the first things that jumps out is just how big he is. He's definitely one of these modern-age shortstops, 6'4", listed at 190. That's going to move up pretty quickly in a professional weight training environment. I would assume the Braves are going to have him slap on some muscle. Played shortstop basically his entire career at Texas A&M. And not a bad defender. There's definitely some things to work on for him, but had a strong SEC career. His numbers did kind of regress as a senior. His power dropped. His stolen bases dropped. His average dropped a little bit for what that means. But he still hit over 300 his entire career in SEC play. As we've mentioned before on the show, SEC baseball is a much tougher, is a very tough market. I'm not going to say it's like the greatest ever, but it is probably the best collection of talent overall. Just like it is in football, it's pretty similar to that in baseball. You still got your schools like Rice or Cal Poly, Long Beach. You know, you've got some good small schools in baseball. Coastal Carolina is definitely one of those. But overall, the SEC just has some better competition across the board. And Braden was a very good SEC player. Numbers kind of similar to Dansby throughout his SEC career. He's a very well-rounded player, kind of like Dansby. Average or better tools across the board. Now, his power, if you look on Fangraphs, I believe his hit tool and his power are below average, his game power. I don't agree with that. I think he's got at least average power. I mean, 6'4", out of a 6'4 frame, if he doesn't have average power, it's more to do with his swing than it is anything else in his bat path, which is something that I'm assuming the Braves will fix, but we'll get to that in a second. The Braves thought highly enough of him that he skipped Danville, went right to Rome, tore up Rome, and then they let him skip another level, and he skipped Florida, went straight to Mississippi. Now, didn't spend a lot of time in Mississippi. It was only 14 games. Did struggle a little bit, but that's to be expected after getting out of college and hopping up, basically skipping two levels in between, jumping right up to Double A. Only a two-week sample, struggled a little bit. But the Braves thought enough of him that they invited him to spring training. And one of the key things, I think, for him was that he showed more stolen base ability in Rome than really he did in his entire college career. Stole 11 bases in Rome. I believe that tied him with his highest college total. He might have stolen 12 his sophomore year of college, but definitely in less games. Got invited to spring training. Kind of a mixed bag for him, spring training-wise. There were a few outings where he looked really good. There's a few times where you could see that there was still a lot to work on with his swing. But he's a very versatile guy, which is one of the things the Braves really value, or Alex Anthopoulos at least really values in players. Not so sure about Brian Snicker. But he's very versatile. He has the ability to play multiple spots. Kind of shortstop, center field tends to be the most thought of, although obviously he could play second base. He's got the arm for third base. It'd be a little bit fringy over there at the corner, but he can play it. He could play left field or right field. Doesn't really have the power profile, but he could play there. He could play games there if you need him to. His footwork needs refining, though, if he's going to stay at short. That's probably his biggest obstacle to staying at shortstop long term. It's probably his footwork. He's a big enough guy that he's going to have some good range just in the diving aspect, but he's got to have better footwork if he's going to actually reach and range towards the hole without having to lay out for stuff and having to come up and spend a little bit more time coming up the body. But as we've seen, shortstops are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, so Braves do a good job at developing footwork. There's very few Brave shortstops that have bad footwork by the time they get to the bigs. I don't think Braden's going to be any exception. If they're going to have him stay at shortstop, I think he'll be ironed out in pretty quick order. I still think his future is a super utility player. I think he's just one of those guys that does a little bit of everything really well. He doesn't really excel at any one thing, but he can do a lot of things for you. He's quick, but he's not blindingly quick. He's fast, but he's not like, you know, he's not Ricky Henderson or really even Dansby Swanson fast. He's closer to Ozzie speed. But that's, you know, that's good enough to play basically all over the field. He can play center field. He can play short. He can play any position you need to run on. He's not too slow for any position. He's a tall frame at 6'4". He's not weighted down, though. He's listed under 200 pounds, so he's still kind of lithe. That's one of the things that they're going to have to do, though, is they're going to have to pack on some muscle. Once they do, the power is going to start showing itself. That's why I think he's going to kind of add in some more raw and game power, especially once they start working on some loft with the swing. It's one of the things that the Braves and really just about everybody in baseball does now with their prospects is they add loft into the swing looking for home runs. Because the home run is such a valuable key piece of today's game, he's still kind of a ball of clay type player, as I call it, guys that still have a lot of things they can be. He's kind of an unmolded piece. There's still, it's a nicer way of saying that he's raw, but there's still a lot of things that you can do to kind of develop him to the way you want him. There's a few different comps you can throw around. Some guys, if they buy into the super hype, are going to probably go with a guy like Corey Seager because they're similar sizes. I'm going to go with Ben Zobrist. I think that Ben Zobrist is an immensely valuable player. More real-life value than fantasy value, which is going to suck for fantasy baseball players. I think that's going to be the same way that Braden is. I don't see Braden being a 20 or 30 home run type of guy, as I've heard some people mention. I think he's a 13 to 17 home run type of guy. I think he's a guy that can play everywhere. He's not going to hurt you anywhere. I also don't think he's a guy that, you know, you would have sit at one spot and never say he could be upgraded. I think he's a guy that he's going to require the manager to actually dedicate to getting him looks pretty much everywhere. He's that guy you can plug in there and play when your other guys need a rest. Similarly to how Johan Camargo was supposed to be used last year, that's kind of what I think Braden is. I think look at Ben Zobrist, and that's what you're looking at with Braden Shoemake. I think they're similar sizes, similar profiles. Zobrist is kind of a big guy, but he's never really had gigantic pop either. And I think Shoemake's going to fall in that same line. A little bit more athletic than Zobrist, but a very good player and somebody that, if he turns into a Ben Zobrist and he's utilized correctly, is a very, very good player for any team to have. And he's one of those essential players for runs to championships. These are the types of guys that help you and help everybody else get rest. These are essential players if you want to make deep runs towards championships. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to look at a pitcher you may have heard of, but maybe you don't know the whole story. 2019 was a real coming out party. Who that is, we'll discuss coming up next right after the break right here on Locked On Braves. Do you hate stepping on the scale? I know I do. Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings has produced the world's first smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale for 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for their durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Just step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't even have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you have to keep your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal, guys. You can get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at Withings.com for a very limited time. Go to Withings.com, that's Withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale. That's Withings, Withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beer while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast. And that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're having lunch, maybe even right when you get up in the morning. I love food. And that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant out there, at least everyone that I can think of, right to my front door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They can make my life easier with grocery delivery, whatever I can think of delivery. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it, Postmates will deliver it. No more trips to the store. No more late-night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners here on Locked On Braves $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. That is the perfect amount of time. Everybody's stuck in quarantine. You know what? Don't worry about getting all your food. Don't worry about going out and shopping. Just Postmate it. Start your free deliveries. Just download the app. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. You'll get $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days just for downloading the Postmates app for iOS or Android. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves. As I mentioned before the break, we are looking at my number 11 player, a guy that you've probably heard the name, but you might not know just what he did last year that was so special. A guy that really kind of came out of nowhere and had a big breakout season in 2019. That is Jacyl De La Cruz, signed in 2015 out of the Dominican Republic at the ripe young age of 18. Jacyl's been an under-the-radar guy for really all but last season. A guy that struggled to get past rookie ball. He actually spent 3 seasons in rookie ball. But in 2018, things really started to click for him, finally. That's really when his prospect profile started to rise. Before then, you wouldn't have found him in any top 30, probably not in anybody's top 30 or maybe even top 50. It wasn't a guy that looked like he was going to be a professional player, really, or get up to the bigs at all. But in 2018, finally, things started to take a turn for the better. You started seeing his fastball, which is a high-velocity fastball. He'll sit mid-90s. Usually he'll sit around 94. But it absolutely gets up there, touches 98, 99. He's got a wipeout slider. It's a definite swing-and-miss pitch. Both of those pitches are very, very good pitches. He rose, well, I think the slider is probably his best pitch. I think the fastball is the one that people are going to look at and say that that's going to be like, it's one of the better fastballs in the minor league system. Not just the velocity, but the movement he gets on and how heavy the fastball seems to be. It's a very, very good pitch. That slider, though, I think that's going to be his main out pitch. He has a changeup as well, but it's nowhere near where the other two are. We'll talk about the changeup in a minute. But for now, fastball slider. Rose 3 levels in 2019, actually. Barely spends any time in Rome. I think it was like 4 starts before he got called up to Florida. Ended up in Mississippi. And actually, that time that he spent in Florida, he managed to throw a no-hitter, which is the first no-hitter in Florida Fire Frogs history after, I believe, in 2018, Ian Anderson and somebody else in the Florida bullpen went 12 innings. Unfortunately, gave up a hit right there at the end. But Jaceel ended up throwing kind of a weird no-hitter, actually. It wasn't one of those where you see, like, he struck out 18. It wasn't like a Phil Pfeiffer where he struck out 17 people in an outing. He did go all nine. But for somehow he... I think he had two walks, four strikeouts. I think that was his final line. Very odd, though, when you see somebody, when you see a guy that young, that low in the minors, trusting his defense. But it wasn't like an overpowering start where he's just going out there and mowing people down and putting everybody in 0-2 counts. He just was willing to pitch to contact, and it worked out. And that's one of the things for him. So he actually ended up throwing a Maddux, which is a complete game under 90 pitches. But that's one of those pieces about Jaceel that kind of makes him a little bit difficult when you're looking at him and you're looking at projecting a future, because despite the really heavy fastball and the really, really good slider, he doesn't have elite strikeout rates. He really doesn't even have great strikeout rates. He doesn't have a 9 per 9. I think he's had a couple stops where he's had over 10, but they weren't full. They weren't like long-term stops. They weren't big sample sizes. They were all small samples. It's kind of weird, because if you just look at his stuff, if you just look at the fastball and the slider, you'd think that this is a guy that would pretty much carry a high strikeout rate. Not true at all. He's usually going to sit about 8.5, maybe to 8 or 7.5, anywhere between that line right there. I mean, he does a good job of not walking hitters, so that's good too. He doesn't put a lot of undue people on base. He's really not afraid to trust his defense, which is something you don't see from a lot of young arms. But it's one of those things. I won't say that it's more important than the strikeout totals. I'm a big strikeout type of guy. That's what I want in my pitchers. So if I can have a guy that's going to strike out 13 per nine, I don't really care if he walks 4 per 9. I think strikeouts are more important than living off of contact, because contact, you're always relying on people behind you. You're always relying on factors that are no longer in your control. When you can strike people out, it is entirely in your control. But it's a good sign that he's not afraid to trust his defense, and that's good because he's a good ground ball pitcher, usually floats around 50 to 52%. And conversely, he keeps the ball in the yard, which is good, because a lot of guys that throw really hard tends to be, if they can't put that fastball where they want it, you throw hard in, that ball goes even harder out. Same thing with sliders. Guys that are primarily slider off-speed pitches, I mean, they tend to give up a fair bit of home runs because a bad slider just goes a long, long way. Both that fastball and the slider, they're 60-plus on the 20 to 80 scale, depending on where you look. I'd probably rank them about a 60 to a 65. I think the fastball is probably a touch ahead of the slider, but I think the slider is certainly something that can be a wipeout pitch down the line. And I do think he has the stuff to be a strikeout guy down the line. His command, he just has to refine the command. The control is fine. He doesn't walk people. It's more about being able to put those pitches where he wants them, especially that slider. It's not often that you're going to get a ton of strikeouts just with the fastball, because there's only so many times you can throw a fastball for a strikeout. But if he can start putting that slider where he wants it in the zone, or even keeping it in the zone for a while until it finishes out of the zone, and being able to use it as a chase pitch, that's very important. The other thing that's going to be very important for him to avoid that reliever risk profile is going to be his changeup. Right now, his changeup is below average. Occasionally, it'll flash average, but it doesn't do much. He kind of needs to figure out how he wants to do it. He needs to work on that pitch. That's my number one goal for him, would be to work on that changeup. If he's able to add that changeup, then his fastball will start getting some strikeouts just for the disparity. But he kind of needs to get that going. If he can get that up to at least an average pitch, that'll take away the reliever risk on him. And I don't know that there's a ton of reliever risk at him. He's not huge. He's 6'1", so he still fits in the frame. He's not overly big. He does throw hard, but his motion isn't crazy. It's pretty easy. His mechanics are pretty repeatable. It doesn't get out of sync too much. His release point's fairly consistent for a young guy. I mean, you can always tighten it up, but it's nothing that you look at and it screams reliever at you. Really, it's just the two-pitch thing. It's so hard as a pitcher to actually be successful as a starter with only two pitches. You're talking about having to go through a lineup three times, and batters know you've only got two pitches, so they can sit one, and they know what your other one's going to be. If he can get that changeup to at least average, now all of a sudden you've got speed differential, you've got three different pitches that you add in there. The things that the hitters have to guess correctly really start increasing. They start expanding a fair bit, and that's going to increase his strikeout rates. Now, the command being refined, I think he does a really good job with his fastball, and that's one of those things you can look at his home run rate, and you can kind of tell he does generally know how to put the ball where he wants it. It may be more an attack mentality than anything else. It may be more he doesn't go outside of the zone very often, and hitters know he's going to be around the zone. It's so hard to tell with guys that are in the minor leagues. It's so hard to actually get good video of minor league players. You're kind of stuck kind of looking around at stat lines and kind of looking at different players who you know a certain thing about and kind of comparing them between them all. But if he doesn't get the increase in K percentage, then he's still got an outlook that's going to be that's still going to be a starter. I mean, he'd be looking like a bottom of the rotation arm. He's going to be one of those guys that kind of drive you crazy. He's a guy that can throw 98, 99, but never really gets enough strikeouts for you to want to have him at the top of your rotation. But if he does get that increase in strikeout percentage, his outlook will increase probably up to about a third in the rotation, a middle rotation type of guy. But for now, like I mentioned, he's bottom of rotation arm. He did get invited to spring training, but he really didn't see a lot of action. Not surprising, he's behind a lot of pitchers in the system, and there were a lot of arms in spring training trying to find some time and a place for them all. Very difficult to get all those guys put into one spring training. So he's still probably behind about five pitchers in the pecking order. So he's definitely going to begin the season at AA. Did a good job last year. His first start, he got wrecked, but after that, pitched very well. As far as what you can compare him to, if he gets that third pitch, I'm going to give you two, because if he gets that third pitch, or that changeup to be consistent, at least average, then I think you're looking at a guy like Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn, another guy who last year had a real breakout season for him, but a guy like that has a heavy fastball, has a good slider, and whose changeup just needs to be something to take, take the hitters off of the fastball. If he gets that, Lance Lynn is a very good pitcher. I don't necessarily think Lance Lynn is an ace, but I think Lance Lynn is one of the better threes. One of the better threes and a really good number two in baseball, and that's what I could see him being. If he doesn't get that changeup to where it's at least consistent, if you're looking at him in the bullpen, a guy like Scott Oberg would be a very good example. Somebody that Jaceel does a really good job keeping the ball on the ground. Oberg does too. Both are fastball slider. Both do good jobs of keeping the ball in the ballpark. Oberg, which is very impressive, being in Colorado. But either way, I'm looking at a guy that I do think is going to be a big leaguer. Obviously, what's going to happen in Atlanta remains to be seen, seeing as there is quite a lot of backlog. But there's no doubt that Jaceel has a step up on some of these other guys because he doesn't have the name recognition, but the stats are kind of in line with a lot of these other guys. So he's got a good shot of staying in Atlanta, and he's a guy that I see maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but certainly in 2022, I think you could start seeing knocking down the door. Maybe in 2021, but I think 2022 is probably the year I would circle for Jaceel De La Cruz for him to actually make and stay on the big league roster. But that's all the time I got for today. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back Monday. Don't forget, next week we will be back to doing 3 episodes a week, but we will be back on Monday. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking with me through all of this craziness here in 2020. For now, you guys have a good weekend. Stay safe, stay inside, and I'll catch you next week right here on Locked On Braves.